Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not so new, welcome back. Either way, I'm very glad you're here. To avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Usually, as I start this part of the podcast, I refer to today's guest as also having some Halloween music. Today's guest is Jerry, host of the Totally Rad Christmas podcast, which is devoted to all wonderful Christmas stuff from the 80s. And this time of year, throughout the year, there's lots of music. But in October, there's also 80s Halloween music that gets a look too. So it all fits together. Anyway, Jerry, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. You're right. I love all things 80s. I was an 80s kid. So, the music is my favorite. The toys and shows and everything was my favorite. So, yeah. And it's a pleasure to be here. So thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. What exactly is the Totally Rad Christmas podcast for anybody who hasn't caught it yet?
So if you haven't, I like to say it's a podcast about the raddest time of year and the baddest decade ever. So basically, it's anything that was popular at Christmas in the 80s, sometimes even just tangentially. So, for example, I did an episode on video games that I got as a present in the 80s. But most of the time we focus on things that are, much more solidly Christmas. So Scrooged, A Christmas Story, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation for movies, or Garfield's Christmas and Claymation Christmas Celebration for shows. And yes, we do episodes on music like Prince and the Bangles. And I'm going to have a very special Christmas mega episode with a bunch of musicians on. So that'll be fun. And just anything that has to do with Christmas in the 80s, even books and fashion and fads and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's something I started because I love, like I said earlier, I love the 80s and I also love Christmas. So
that was going to be a combination of my next two questions. Why the 80s and why Christmas?
But it's... I mean, I was a kid, throughout the 80s. So, and I think when you're kids, Christmas is just so much more magical and you get that feeling of, just the awe and the wonder and the joy when you rush to the tree and you see all the presents underneath that Santa's left you. And so, I tried to recreate that as much as I can with my children. And so thinking about, as I was preparing for that, each Christmas with my children trying to get them in the spirit, it reminded me of my own childhood. And so I decided to kind of, maybe if I can make someone remember that feeling a little bit, then, it'll be worth it. And so I decided to start a podcast with that.
And a great example of that is a recent episode that you did on an episode of the Amazing Stories show from the 80s about Santa 85, which for a while I thought maybe I'm the only one who even remembers that. But it was really neat to hear you guys talking about it.
Well, had I known that you remembered it, I would have had you on the show too. that was one that when I was doing my research, and I only vaguely remembered I had like a couple of images in my head, and that was really about it. The plot I didn't remember at all. But I was doing research for a few other possible topics and that one popped up and I thought, oh, that'll be fun to cover someday. And so I kind of just sent it out in the ether, like, hey, anyone want to join me? And so Scott and Anthony decided to come on. But yeah, it was an episode of Amazing Stories and it's fun. It's actually pretty charming episode.
it really is. And if you haven't seen it, or if you were around in the 80s and you did see it, you'll want to catch it. I went on my Roku and quickly did a search on it to see who carries Amazing Stories, and I think it's the NBC app has them right now. But you're definitely going to want to see that, or you can buy the episode from Amazon. But I vividly remember it because that season, I guess it was NBC that had Amazing Stories, and CBS had a new version of The Twilight Zone, and they both came up at the same time. and The Twilight Zone, they redid the 60s Christmas episode, Night of the Meek.
Oh, right.
In the 80s version that had, I forget the actor's name now. He was Bert on Soap. And Richard Mulligan.
Yes.
It was charming. It was fun to see again. Both of those were. And they both capture that, you know, that little bit of holiday magic. And it rekindled that for me when I heard you guys talking about that in your recent episode. So that has nothing to do with music at all, but I wanted to mention.
Well, the score actually to most of the series is available on a 3 anthology set. And so you can actually find some excerpts from that Santa 85 music on that CD set. Now, I went to try to purchase it, and it's much more money than I'm willing to spend at the moment. as these things become very niche, they tend to go up in price. And so I did my time buying scores that were obscure. And as much as I would like to own it, I think it's going to be one of those that it'll have to be down the line.
You know, there were a handful of Christmas albums from the 80s that went out of print. And I felt the same way you did. I would see them pop up on eBay in different places. And they're like, wow, it's $100. Do I really want to shell out 100 or 150 or whatever it was, mm-hmm. or get into a bidding war over this, or do I just want to wait? And I would wait, and then there would be that one year when it would get re-released, and I would like, all right, I'm pouncing on it. I got it for $10, and then it would go away again.
Yes.
John Anderson, the singer from Yes, did a Christmas album in the 80s called Three Ships, and I really liked that, but then it disappeared. And then it came back, I don't know, for like an anniversary edition, probably 10, 15 years ago. And I quickly grabbed a copy and it went away again.
Nice.
The Scrooge soundtrack, the same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. I just got that, scooped that up again. It was re-released. And not the soundtrack, the score actually is the one that I got. Danny Elfman was, and that score was remastered and re-released. The soundtrack, you're right. That came out again. And I remember hunting it down about 15 years ago. And deciding I would wait.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I had the same, you know, for anybody who has been searching for Christmas music and gone through, you know, your local used record or CD store, if you're so lucky that you have one in your town, you know what we're talking about. When you're searching through the stacks and you find that gem, you're like, wow, this is out of print. I got to get this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to teach a class on film scoring. And so, whenever we'd get to certain composers, only a few albums were out on CD at the time. This was, you know, back in the early 2000s. So, I would search and search, and I wanted different scores. I didn't want these particular ones that were out. And so I'd be on eBay most of my time on eBay, just bidding on albums, and then eventually I'd get them, and or I'd wait. And then there were a few that I really wanted to teach, I really wanted to focus on, but they were just, you know, in the hundreds of dollars, and so I'd have to see if I could find bootleg versions of them. I didn't say that everything was legal. And then there was a few that I bought, and then about a year or two later, it was the same thing. They would be re-released and remastered, and they were like $20. And so in the end, I decided I would never spend more than like $50 on some music again.
Well, it can absolutely be an expensive habit.
Yes.
When you were talking about some of the music that you have covered recently, you mentioned Prince, and a lot of people don't know that he even recorded a Christmas song.
Yeah. Another Lonely Christmas. And it's an odd track. I like it. It's very, it's got some gospel influences. It's, you know, there's like the flat sixth major chord is thrown in there randomly. You know, so there's like a little bit of that. It's very much, backbeat, but also, what's the word I'm looking for? Almost swinging eighths. They're not quite straight as well. But it's also very depressing, the subject matter.
Yeah, it's quite a downer. It's not Jingle Bell Rock.
No, it's definitely not. But I like it. I really like that song. It's not one that I usually put on a Christmas playlist just because of its subject matter. It's a little more, like I said, it's kind of down. It's a downer. But at the same time, musically, it's really interesting to me. And so I try to listen to it at least a couple of times a season, even though I don't put it in my main Christmas playlist.
I hardly play it at all on the Sounds of Christmas. I was very excited when I started the station up, and it's great to be able to say Prince is coming up. You know, I've got, Brenda Lee, and I've got Bing Crosby and Prince on the way.
Yeah.
That's very cool. And people will listen, but then you get that song and wow. And it's quite a, it brings the mood down. And I have a lot of people who listen at work, and I just like, okay, I don't want to do that to people who are working and they're trying to get through their days.
That's right.
And then here you go. Here's Prince to remind you of some things you don't want to think about. Yeah. It's tough. Yeah. When I was thinking about doing this podcast with you, and I was trying to think, what are the 80s Christmas songs that I don't want to say favorite because there's so much music that I really love, but what are like the most 80s-tastic that I like? And the ones that the albums that I really like aren't necessarily, you wouldn't think of them as being from the 80s, even though they are. Ray Charles' Christmas album, The Spirit of Christmas, 1985.
Yeah.
It you can listen to that and it doesn't really sound like the 80s, but that's when it came out. And there's a song from that they used in Christmas Vacation that if that's the first time you heard it, then maybe that does connect it to the 80s for you. But it's a great record, but it doesn't really make you go, ah, the 80s, not like Wham. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's completely, anytime you hear synthesizers, you know,
yeah,
like your first thought is either 80s or like, you know, late 60s, early 70s prog rock. But that's a good point. I actually just did an episode of Jingle Jank where I was a guest on Jingle Jank with Scott and Jay, where we talked about a Midnight Christmas Mess album. Which again, it was from the 80s, but it kind of sounded more 70s and 60s. It had like a very, it was like a weird mix of like late 70s garage band rock and folk, like 60s folk style. But it was from the 80s. These were 80s bands. It was an odd album, but it was kind of interesting just because of that eclectic vibe. So you're right. There are some albums that scream 80s and some that just don't. So I'm a big fan of George Strait. And of course, I'm from Texas. I got to be right. I think I'm legally required to be a fan of George Strait.
Right.
But his album from, I think it was 86. And that one, it's just pretty standard country, but it sounds like it could be, you know, from the 80s, from the 90s as well. I guess nowadays country has gotten a little more crossover. So not so modern, but at the same time, there's about like 2.5 to 3 decades where it could have taken place and just happened to be in the 80s.
Yeah. And there's a world of difference between George Strait's Christmas album and Kenny and Dolly.
Yes. Now that I like the Kenny and Dolly album. It was never one that we heard a lot growing up. It was just because we were very much into the Time Life Treasury of Christmas. That was like the albums that we listened to every Christmas. It was when we decorating the tree, on opening presents, or hanging out Christmas Eve. Just we always listened to the Time Life Treasury of Christmas that came out in 86. But Kenny and Dolly's is a really good album, and we would listen to it, you know, every once in a while. But that is definitely 80s, like you hear it and it's very firmly set in the 80s.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you familiar with the album, the Christmas Soul Special? It was early 80s. It had Wilson Pickett on it and Mary Wells, Benny King. I don't know if this was from an actual TV special or if they just called it that. Do you have any idea?
That one, I don't, off the top of my head, I haven't done my research fully on it yet because that's one that we're going to be covering next season. So I haven't actually planned it for this season. So I don't really have any deep information on that one yet, but I do remember it. And it was, I remember being really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Wilson Pickett did a version of Silver Bells, which Silver I think Bells, closes yeah. out the album. And it's very cool. It's unlike Silver Bells, that a traditional version. It's very Wilson Pickett. But again, it doesn't scream 80s.
Right.
But yeah. It was 1981, 1982, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because there's some that are just very, very, and I talked about, you know, everything 80s cartoons and stuff, but they took a lot of those early toy properties and cartoon properties, and they turned those into Christmas albums as well.
Oh yeah.
So there's a Strawberry Shortcake has a Christmas album, Rainbow Bright, Pound Puppies, the Smurfs have a Christmas album as well, Cabbage Patch Kids. And of course I was a kid, so a lot of these were right up my alley, but I mean, a lot of them were just strange albums that you hear it and you're like, I don't know if I like this, but I kind of like it. You know, it's one of those. Of course, you have the heavy hitters like A Very Special Christmas and you know, like you mentioned, the Kenny and Dolly as well. But I'm kind of really digging some of those more obscure albums that you're just like, wait, what is this? Where did you get this? What are you talking about here? One thing that I really wish happened was so there was that movie from 1984, Silent Night, Deadly Night, and it was a horror movie, but there was some songs written. There was about 12 songs written, and they were going to release an album with that movie, and a lot of those songs are actually really fantastic songs, and it's same, just like with that Ray Charles one, some of them sound very 80s, but a lot of them kind of don't. Some of them are kind of that R&B style. They could be there are some that they're just straight up kind of pop. I mean, it's a really cool mix of styles that I wish they had released at that time, because I think some of those songs would have been staples nowadays. But unfortunately, we didn't get it released until I think 2016 or something like that. So you can hear them, and they're rather good. A lot of them were written by Morgan Ames. Yeah, there's like a lot of little albums like that. You're just like, oh, I wish that could have happened. I think that would have been fantastic. But history is what it is. And so you just kind of have to roll with it.
One of the I hate to say most odd, because then there's always something else that comes up that is worse or stranger. But the California Raisins.
Yes, yes.
Had a Christmas album.
They did. And I believe it was still the Street Corner Singers that were the voices for it. It's not. So if you look it up, don't expect to get the songs from a Claymation Christmas Celebration, because you won't. Although that was released as an album as well. But it's completely different arrangements. That one is super 80s. There's lots of that particular synth style that just dominated some of those pop tracks from that time. But it's actually, again, I kind of rather enjoy it. But their Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is not the cover of the Temptations, you know, version that they do. So if you're going to buy that album, which you can, I believe, get on off of iTunes, if you're going to buy it, just be warned, it's not what you're thinking it is. They're still pretty interesting. They're just not those versions.
Well, and as if the story couldn't get stranger, for those who don't know, California Raisins came from a commercial
mm-hmm.
for raisins, and they're marching along or dancing along to I Heard It Through the Grapevine. And for a commercial, it became a big thing in, I don't know, 86, 87, somewhere in there.
Yeah, around there.
Mm-hmm. And popular enough that it spawned this Christmas special. And Buddy Miles, who was the drummer, or at least a drummer for Jimi Hendrix, was the voice for the Christmas stuff. And it's just like, wow, there's so many threads here that it's a raisin commercial, Heard It Through the Grapevine, it's a Christmas album. What, Hendrix? What? It's just, but really, that's the 80s.
Yeah, that's exactly. What is the 80s if not excess and just random randomness? Which is part of the reason I think I really enjoy that time, because it really is completely off the wall and different. They like took stuff from the 70s, they took stuff from the 60s, and then they just kind of, as Spinal Tap would say, turned it up to 11. And that was what we ended up with. On that particular, yeah, the California Raisins, they were created by Will Vinton, who kind of trademarked claymation. He's the one that popularized that particular medium. And so they became super popular. He's the one that also did the Noid from Domino's commercials.
Oh, wow.
And they became super popular. And so he threw them in. He was hired to do that claymation Christmas celebration. And so he's like, you know what? People love the raisins. Let's throw those in as well. And so then that's when we get that particular version. Now, the composer of that special has gone on record as saying that it was an awful time for him because he was kind of underpaid and overworked, essentially. But he wrote some fantastic arrangements of these tunes. Again, lots of synths all over the place, just all sorts of synthesizers everywhere that you can imagine. A lot of the standard 80s fare as far as chord progressions go and riffs. But he did find the street corner singers, and that's how they were able to later on continue and do those California Raisins bits.
Here's one, and I'm not trying to stump the 80s guy, but I'll be really impressed if you've heard of this one. Scrooge's Rock and Roll Christmas.
No, I gotta say, you definitely stumped me there because I don't recall this one at all.
This a weird special probably aired once and then is in a vault or in somebody's garage or something now.
It's going on my list.
It starred Jack Elam, I think is how you say his name, E-L-A-M, mm-hmm. who was memorably in Cannonball Run and episodes of Eight is Enough and Webster, among other things. You'll know him if you see him. But he played Scrooge, mm-hmm. and the premise of this was that he could appreciate the season by using this magic snow globe that showed him these bands performing Christmas songs. And the bands, okay. And this is like early 80s, but the bands or the singers were 60s acts like The Association, Mike Love of the Beach Boys, Paul Revere and the Raiders, Bobby Goldsboro. I mean, it was Three Dog Night. I mean, it was, you know, any piece of this, you'd go, hey, that's cool. All these, it's a Christmas music revival with all these 60 rock stars. And wait, there's a magic snow globe and it's Scrooge. What?
You got to have a magic snow globe.
Yeah.
That's funny. You know, it. The 80s was a time, and we're seeing it today too, where there's like that huge, I mean, there is a real big 80s nostalgia bit because, you know, a lot of us 80s kids are now, you know, we're now in our midlife. And so we're, you know, we're like hearkening back to those days of yore. And so there is a lot of that. I mean, Stranger Things and, you know, the Ghostbusters movie that just came out and things like that. But the same thing kind of happened in the 80s. It was like a throwback to like the 50s and 60s, you know. So you think about like Happy Days or Back to the Future, where they go back to, you know, 1955, you know, stuff like that. And so the Beach Boys came out on Full House. And so there was a lot of that kind of throwback as well. And the Beach Boys had a little bit of a mini revival when they did Kokomo for Cocktail, you know, for that movie. And so there was kind of that nostalgia for that era back then as well. So that it doesn't surprise me that they do it. It seems like the premise would have been more contemporary music. Like they probably would have been more successful if they had done or probably would have been remembered better, I should say, if they had done some of the contemporary pieces, like even like Wham or just get some of those singers singing the older songs, I think would have been successful as well. But no, this one is definitely new to me. I'd never heard this, but I've just added it to my list to cover for next season. And you're going to have to come be the guest on the show.
I'd be happy to talk about it as much as I can. I'm constantly looking for somebody to put it on YouTube or for some streaming service to pick it up, or even the soundtrack to become available. And none of that None of that seems to happen, but I have seen it on IMDb, so I know I didn't just dream it up.
No, it's on Discogs as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah. It really exists.
It did. And let's see. It looks like it was released as an LP. I don't ever see it being released on CD or anything. So there's probably not a digital version of it available anywhere unless someone actually just ripped the song straight from the recording. So, wow. Yeah, Three Dog Night, Paul Revere and the Raiders, Mike Love. Wow. I'm excited now. I can't wait to dive into this one.
Okay. Well, don't blame me.
Okay. I promise I won't. But do you remember a Christmas record?
A Christmas record. Was that the one with
80s.
The waitresses on it?
Yes. That's the one with the waitresses.
Okay.
So of course everybody knows that one. Now right. There's some actual, there's some really cool gems on there as well. Christmas Fever is pretty neat. There's one by Was Not Was.
Oh, I remember them.
The Walk the Dinosaur Band.
Yeah.
and that one's it's called Christmas Time in Motor City. It's all about Christmas in Detroit. It's that track is weird. I mean, I haven't tried to figure out, you know, the chord progressions or anything. So I haven't sat down and just tried to figure it out. But listening to it, it's an odd track. And I kind of like it. The more I listen to it, the more I'm digging it. It's, you know, it's like it's Christmas time in the Motor City. It's just weird. It's like that weird. It's almost Devo-ish. In a way.
No, one of the things, and I don't want this to be a get off my lawn kind of thing, but one right. of the things I really miss about the 80s is I can remember going to record stores and searching the stacks when they got all their Christmas stuff in and always finding something cool. Like on that album, there's a song called Christmas on Riverside Drive.
Yes, there is. Yep.
That's it's attributed to August Darnell, who mm-hmm. is Kid Creole from Kid Creole and the Coconuts.
That's right. Yeah.
But that's the kind of thing. It's really for somebody who collects this stuff. It's such a high to come across a record like that. And not just the waitress's song that, well, now everybody knows it. But to look on it and go, wait, isn't that the guy from Kid Creole? Oh, I gotta get this, you know, or to go through the, you know, if you were lucky enough back then and your record store got imports and you got stuff from the UK squeezed mm-hmm. at a Christmas song, the guys in XTC did a Christmas song and they changed and they put it out under the name The Three Wise Men.
Nice.
That was such a neat thing to be able to go and find treasure like that. And
there's some stores around here like that too. But from where I'm from in the Valley, there really wasn't, unless you were super into like obscure Tejano music or Norteño music, or, you know, cause I'm from South Texas. We're literally like 10 or 15 minutes from Mexico. So it's a huge, you know, area for that kind of thing. But we really didn't have very many, like our record stores just had the standard fare. Up here, though, there's a couple of places that I'm thinking of that same thing. You can just dive through. And even now, they still have some obscure stuff. So I'm huge into jazz. I found, I don't know how many bebop albums there of stuff that I love. Just digging through the stacks and, Lee Morgan treasures all over the place and Joe Henderson, stuff like that. And so just this amazing music that I just wish I had known about earlier, because I think I would have been even more into it. It's just, they're so cool.
It was just so much fun to be able to do that kind of thing. Yeah. And I know people today who are Christmas music nuts, like mm-hmm. I am, have their own way of searching stuff. And I do that too on Spotify and YouTube and Amazon and all the online places. But to me, it's just not the same. I can vividly remember being in the mall at Christmas time and going into Woolworth's, which had a bin of cutout records. And for those who aren't that old, what used to happen is that records that didn't sell, they called them cutouts, and they made a little slice in the album cover, and then they were dirt cheap. And you, in places like Woolworths, which was a kind of like a drugstore, not quite a department store, but
yeah, it was almost like a combo of the two or something, I guess. Yeah.
But yeah, they would have these big bins of all these cutout records. And I would go in there and I would just start at one end and I would keep going. And I found in there in, I think, 1981, this record called In Harmony 2, which was, for the most part, a children's album. It was popular musicians, singers, and bands doing kids' songs. The Doobie Brothers had a song on there.
Nice.
I don't remember who else, but the treasure for me was that at the time, that was the only place that you could get Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus Is Coming to Town.
Oh, that's so good.
And I was so excited that I found it at Woolworths for like $1.99. It made my day. And I don't know what the equivalent to that is in 2021, to be able to find something like that you're looking for. I don't know if there is.
No, not really, because it was almost like a treasure hunt, you know?
And yeah.
You were like an explorer, you know, in search of like the lost cities of gold or something. I get it. I really do. Now, at the time in the 80s, it was more about toys and video games for me. But it's the same thing, because later on, when after college, I was the same way. I would look for all these different scores and soundtracks to different films that I loved, and, you know, so I can analyze and see what they're doing musically and then teach my class. But, you know, it was like you'd have to hunt it down as fast as you can, and sometimes you'd get a lead. Oh, man, you know, I heard that it might be over here. And then sometimes you didn't. So nowadays, you know, it's like, okay, you just Google search and you go through websites and you kind of scroll down and you get an item number. Okay, well, I'll look for this now on, you know, like you said, Spotify or something like that. And I kind of miss it. It's not so exciting anymore. It's more like, oh, I got to look this up.
and I remember in the 80s, REM sent Christmas songs to their fan club.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you found out about it, it was too late to get that year's Christmas song if you weren't in the fan club. And you're not going to find that in the stores anywhere. But right now, you could search your favorite singer or group on YouTube and put in fan club release or fan club Christmas. And if they have done something, somebody has probably posted it and you can find it. I had no idea that the Eurythmics did that.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. I mean, I only remember, of course, from A Very Special Christmas, their album there, but their single. I didn't know that. No, that's cool.
They did. Now, their Christmas releases to their fan club were, I apologize, but there's no other word for it, strange. They weren't, it wasn't that they sent their fan club, you know, here's a special version of Winter Wonderland just for you. It was right. A combination. Are you familiar with the Beatles Christmas messages?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was sort of like that, but it was the 80s. So it was lots of them discovering weird things they could do in the studio, special effects and stuff like that. And it's really, I mean, if you're a fan of the Eurythmics, you'll probably dig it. Mm-hmm. But I was all excited. Wow, I'm going to have all these great Eurythmics Christmas songs that nobody's known about. And then I would listen to them. And
not
I'm like,
so much.
No, there's not.
There's, you know, can't release really, this. Can't
yeah, and they're long. They're really long. So it's like, I can't play something that's this weird for 7 minutes and think anybody's right still going to be listening. So,
oh, man. That's a bummer. That's a for real bummer. I'm sorry,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. But you can find, you know, you can find those things. So that's definitely something that I guess is cool about the way things are now with technology, that you can, if you're looking for Deck the Halls by REM or Silver Bells, you can put that into YouTube and you can probably find that somebody's uploaded it.
Right.
Other than any of the stuff that we've mentioned, is there any particular 80s-tastic Christmas album or single that really sticks with you?
There's a Christmas album that I didn't realize, except for like one song, I didn't realize that that they had a whole album. But the Judds, and I'm not a huge Judds fan at all, because I'm not really a country fan, except for like George Strait and maybe Garth Brooks a little here and there. But the Judds have a Christmas album that is amazing. It's fantastic. It's well produced. The mother and daughter harmonize so well. They're just good arrangements, straightforward, nothing crazy, but something about it. And there's a couple of original tunes on there as well. Just something about it is just, it's wow. It's really good. It captures that magic. And I don't know if it's just because they were so close and that, you know, the intimacy of mother and daughter, and they just harmonize very, very well together, but it's really, really fantastic. It's worth checking out for sure. That would be one of my favorites. Other than that, of course, I like Weird Al's little, you know, Christmas at Ground Zero. I'm a Weird Al fan, so of course that's a natural one. And I know everybody will say A Very Special Christmas, because that's like the standard that kind of revitalized, you know, 80s or revitalized Christmas music, I should say, around that time. But for me, yeah, that Judds album is a killer. It really is.
For me, one of the standouts that we haven't talked about is the 12-inch mix of Band-Aid's Do They Know It's Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, Do They Know It's Christmas is great 80s fare anyway, right? Because you have the who's who of MTV 80s rock stars.
Right.
And this particular mix has this part in the middle where it's dance drum stuff, and all the artists are introducing themselves and wishing you a Merry Christmas.
It's
really neat. And I remember hearing that on the radio in 1985 maybe, and then didn't hear it anymore. And maybe it's I play it, but maybe it's because it's really long, mm-hmm. or it went the way of all the dance mixes that you just don't hear anymore.
Which was, what was it? Steve Lukather and with Eddie Van Halen, their Joy to the World.
Yeah.
That's a really good one too. I mean, it's just a single, but that one I really enjoy as well. And I think Billy Squire had one that I want to cover is also, not that I don't remember it growing up. I think it was like in the 90s that I finally discovered it. But that one, I think it's like Christmas is Time to Say I Love You or something like that. That was one that I dig as well.
I like that one a lot. And it was fun listening to the radio back in the 80s, because they didn't go, most stations didn't go all Christmas like they do now, but they would sneak these songs in every so often.
Yeah.
And as you got closer to Christmas, they would be coming up more often. So it was fun because you never knew when it was coming up. And then mm-hmm. you would hear, there's Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is coming to town now. How cool. But you'd never know.
And I like his version of it. I mean, it's fun. Yeah, there are times when he's a little off key, but still, I mean, you can tell they're having fun and just jamming. And that's like some of my favorite. That's why I like live versions a lot of songs. Yeah. You know, they're just, you don't really know what's going to happen. Sometimes the guitar solos are different. Vocally, they'll do different things. And so whenever something like that happens, you know, in that recording, I mean, it's like a gem, because it's just, you know, a piece of time that's just been captured. And so I really enjoy his version as well.
Well, the other neat thing about his version mm-hmm. was that it wasn't an 80s thing. It came out in the 70s, but it was only sent to radio stations. Mm. It wasn't released until like 1980 or 81 on that kids record that I mentioned.
Right.
And then it was another 4 or 5 years until it came out on the B-side of the My Hometown single.
Mm.
So for a while, the only way you could hear it
underground
mm-hmm. was if the radio station played it. And that made it, I don't know, that added to the Christmas magic of it, because you couldn't get your own. I mean, I had the Beach Boys Christmas album and I could play that whenever I wanted.
Right.
And
right.
And it was great to have it. And it was also, well, okay, Little Saint Nick, but I can play Little Saint Nick anytime I want. But that Springsteen song, you had to wait until they decided they were going to put it on.
Right.
And then there it was. And you had to, oh, I missed it because I had my cassette ready to go to try and tape it off the radio.
Tape it. Yeah. Oh, man. And then the DJ would talk over it a little bit. And it was like, oh,
well, what are you doing? Ruined it.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh. I remember trying to make a few mixtapes that way and just, they got me.
What's the best way for people to find you and the Totally Rad Christmas podcast?
I'm anywhere you find podcasts. So of course, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, you know, Amazon, you know, the Google, all those you can, I'm around. You can find me on social media at Facebook and Instagram at Totally Rad Christmas and Twitter at Rad Christmas. I do have a website right now. It says it's under construction. It's almost done. Tom Crow from Tis a Podcast is fixing it up for me. And so that'll be dropping pretty soon. But yeah, just look me up on any one of those. You can just type in Totally Rad Christmas and I'll appear. And I hope you enjoy. Our very first episode is on the 1986 compilation, Time Life Treasury of Christmas. Of course, most of them are from the 40s and 50s. But there's a couple of 80s tunes in there as well, including one from Dolly and Kenny's Christmas to Remember. That's our very first episode because that's the one that means the most to me out of everything. Because like I said earlier in the show, we would play it for every major event each Christmas season.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Jerry, thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. It was fun. And I'm definitely got to get you on to talk about that Scrooge's Rock and Roll Christmas.
Anytime. And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some of the Christmas spirit and for helping this podcast continue to grow. Since you're listening now, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And again, the website is soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.